Happy Monday, Bucks fans. It's the Monday Morning Joe podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz here, joebucksfan.com. One of the Joes, one of the owners of this website, and goodness, almost 10 years already of joebucksfan.com. I cannot believe it. I was actually a young man when Joe Bucks Fan launched, and now I'm an older young man, which kind of sucks, but it's been a fun, wild ride, and I appreciate all of you here on the podcast, which is presented by Discount Garage Doors. Discount Garage Doors, proud presenters of the podcast. DGDoors.com is their website. And darn it, if there's anything going on with your garage door, it doesn't work, you have an emergency, door's broken, whatever it might be, they are there for you 7 days a week, and you can get a same-day free service call. That means they're going to come to your home. They're going to diagnose everything absolutely free, no pressure. They'll let you know what it takes to fix it right there, or maybe you need a new garage door, and they'll show you their wide selection. Remember, the name is Discount Garage Doors, which means great prices. You can compare their rates. Check out their website, dgdoors.com. There are discounts there, and there's so much to see. Joe Bucks Fan gets you a 10% discount, so use that code when you give them a call. And again, just great service. Local Florida company since 2000. They service all the way out to Orlando and beyond throughout Central Florida. Great company. I can't say enough about them, and I appreciate those who've used their services and have let me know about it. It's multiple listeners now to the podcast, and I really feel good about all the great things there that Discount Garage Doors is doing. So you've seen their billboards. You've heard about them. Now call them, 1-866-420-DOOR. Now, Bucks fans, we are a bitter bunch, and I understand that it's because we haven't made the playoffs in 10 years, which is the longest drought in the NFC, which makes us the worst team in the NFC over the last 10 years. And oh, by the way, what a businessman I am, starting a blog with the worst team in the NFC over 10 years, and this is our 10th year. So that's just a little joke we have here around world headquarters of Joe Bucks Fan. But there's a lot of reasons people are fired up right now. It's an exciting time. It's a tense time. Free agency starts in 9 days. The bell rings. The Bucks have a ton of money to spend. But the news of the weekend was sort of a piece of non-news that turned into news that now turns into having people ramming their head against the wall and fired up on a Monday morning. Robert Quinn, Rams defensive end, was traded to the Dolphins for a fourth-round pick and a swap of sixth-round picks. So, okay, when I first saw that and I realized fans were freaking out, and I wrote the headline on the on JoeBucksFan.com and the post that went up, I think it was Saturday night. Oh, it doesn't really matter. The headline, Robert Quinn was just traded, and it wasn't to the Bucks. And I think that summed up the feelings of Bucks fans, because this guy is an established, serious edge rusher. 27 years old, former defensive player of the year. He's had some monster seasons. He's been a little quieter the last two. 8.5 sacks last year for the Rams as he transitioned to a 3-4 defense. He got better as the season went on. Is he a Hall of Fame player? No, probably not. Although a couple of good seasons might get him into the conversation one day. A couple of additional good seasons. But the point is, he is an established, good pass rusher who is still young. And the Bucks don't have one of those. And we all know the problems of the Bucks pass rush. Those guys don't come on the market very often. That's the core of this. Those guys aren't available very often, let alone for a fourth-round pick. Swap of sixth-round picks is sort of meaningless. But come on, they don't come around very often. So the initial reaction, from myself included, was, what is going on? How does this not happen for the Bucks? Now, then the report comes out that, hey, Bucks were in the talks for Quinn. And then the chatter comes out that the Bucks actually offered, per Jenna Lane of ESPN, who I know has been up in Indianapolis at the Combine. She got there a little bit later. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan let me know. But she was up there sort of networking, doing her thing. And she said two sources told her Jason Light, Bucks GM, also offered a fourth-round pick for Robert Quinn. So it's like, wait a minute. On the surface, you assume that it's a 2018 fourth-round pick And heck, the Bucks pick higher than the Dolphins do. So the Rams kind of turned down a slightly better draft pick. And maybe that makes sense if they didn't want to trade Quinn in the division. But forget about that. The fact that it's out there now with such level of detail that Light was in the actual offering, not just talking, but offering for Robert Quinn, that lets you know Light wanted him, right? So he wanted Robert Quinn. He saw the value in Robert Quinn on wearing the Buccaneers jersey. He saw that Robert Quinn would fit with this team, and his $11 million or so salary was not going to be a problem. In that scenario, I'm sure the Bucs would have cut Robert Ayers, who's making due to make like $6.5 million, something like that, and away they go. So that's what makes this so lousy, is that the GM wanted Robert Quinn, made an offer, and didn't get it. That sucks, right? If you like Jason Light, and you trust Jason Light, and you believe he knows what's the deal is in building this team, then this is a major fail. He screwed up. He wanted the guy, made an offer, and lost. If you want a guy and you're bidding, you better not lose, buddy, especially at such a critical position. So would it really have killed Light to cough up more? Maybe a third round pick? And then pull back a seventh or something from the Rams? I don't know, but would you have been upset if Light gave up a third round pick for Robert Quinn? I really hope not, because I would have been absolutely fine with that deal. This isn't an old player, and the Bucs need help at defensive end. And sure, you can't start tossing away draft picks left and right, but come on, a third round pick for an established edge rusher, you would do that all day long. You should want to do that all day long. You really should. At 27 years old. Come on. Quinn should have 3 years left in him. And that's fine. This is a short-term league anyway. Third-round picks. Maybe you hit at a 50% rate. Maybe. Maybe. If you're good, you're 50% in the third round with a strong starter. Man, it just stinks. That Light wanted this guy but didn't think he was worth a third-round pick. So let's look at it that way. If Jason Light didn't think Quinn was worth the third-rounder, and we're just speculating here, then why was he going to pay him $11 million to play for the Bucs if he wasn't worth a third-round pick? Because third-round picks aren't necessarily so valuable. So the whole thing stinks. And for me, it stinks because Light wanted him and didn't get him, and I don't want to be that team that wants something and comes in second place all the time, or third place, or wherever. It's a pass-fail league, as Light says, and he failed in this trade, in this potential trade. If you offer, you want him, you better get him. So now that said, I'm not that angry at all, because the big picture is what counts. And the big picture is, what does that 53-man roster look like? What does the Buccaneers defensive line look like on May 1st? That's what I want to know. What does it look like on May 1st before I start freaking out left and right? Now, I thought about this last night, this morning, about saying that, and then I realized, well, you know what? Hey, people are going to say, Steve, people are going to say that you freaked out about Doug Martin before you knew what the Bucs running back situation was going to look like. And that's fair on some level, because sure, the Bucs could have kept Doug Martin last year and still had other running backs like a Kareem Hunt and had a balance there and maybe used Martin as a bit of a mentor and a bit of an insurance policy versus relying on him. So it's not really apples and oranges. And Martin, of course, we saw him on the field with the Bucs. He had a track record. So it's a little bit different. Light here, yes, he's needed 5 years now. This is year five to build a pass rush, which is inexcusable. There's no way around it. Year five. Imagine the audacity of going to your boss and saying, hey, man, I need a fifth year to get this done, this critical component done. Give me another shot. Man, but Light, in this situation, I think he deserves a little bit of patience. I get the anger. I get the rage. I get the confusion when you wanted him and you didn't get him. But let's see what the finished product looks like. So I'm going to leave it there when it comes to the Robert Quinn deal. And, of course, it gives us something to track, right? Just like Jason not Jason, Calais Campbell last year. You know, he's the big fish that got away. And you have to assume that if the Bucks made the biggest deal for the biggest fish, he would have come here. He had real no ties to Jacksonville whatsoever. He even admitted that he didn't talk to anybody with the Jaguars first. So something to watch. Now, so what do the Bucks do now, right? If we're not the kind of person who wants to focus on what we didn't do, then maybe we're the kind of person who wants to know what are we going to do and what should we do and what's out there. So one of my things this weekend, you know, I paid a lot of attention personally to the Dolphins last year. Why? Because they were the team that the Bucs were supposed to open the season against. And every year, it's just a habit of mine as a Buccaneers fan, as somebody who covers the team, as soon as that schedule is announced, I'm looking at that opening game and I start paying attention from April through the summer on that team because I want to be as fired up and as prepared for opening day as I can and also be able to let you guys know and write about the opening day opponent intelligently. So, you know, there's plenty of time. So why not? I can scout that team. Last year it was the Dolphins. The year before that it was the Falcons. And then before that it was the Titans. So that's just how I do it. So I paid a lot of attention to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins were entering last season as the number one team in the league as far as payroll at defensive line. And that included their first round pick, Charles Harris, who wasn't making a ton of money. I think he was what, like 20th overall, 17th overall, I forgot, at defensive end. And they had Branch and Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh. And they got some money invested in that line big time. So my initial thought after the Quinn deal, after the initial emotion was, well, who's coming off that Dolphins line? Because whoever that is probably better than what we got. And then I was thinking, did they give up on Charles Harris? Is that possibly part of this? I don't know. He didn't have a great year last year, but he was okay. But you know what? Defensive ends, another example. First round defensive ends don't usually come in and make a giant splash. Some will make a decent splash, but a 4-3 defensive end usually is not making a giant splash. And Harris was in that role last year. So I'm reading the Miami newspapers, the Palm Beach Post, the Sun Sentinel, I'm listening to a couple of podcasts. This is over the weekend, and the Herald. And I'm even went back to look at a couple of games on NFL Game Rewind. This is my life, right? This is I love this stuff. Eat it up. And there's chatter out of Miami that this is it for Cameron Wake. They're going to move on from Cameron Wake. Now, he's 36 years old, coming off double-digit sacks the last two seasons after a major injury in 2015. I think it was an Achilles, whatever. He came back strong, and he's doesn't get the same publicity as the Julius Peppers. But he's the same older freak of nature kind of guy as well, driven and effective. And last year, he played in 58% of the snaps for the Dolphins. Played the whole season, 10.5 sacks. I mean, that's we can't even understand what that's like here in Tampa. That's just like aliens landing from another planet. We just don't know what that's like. And he had back-to-back double-digit sack seasons, coming off 11 or 11.5 in 2016. So that's a whole another story. But I like the fact that if Wake shakes free, if the Dolphins don't want to pay him $8.5 million and just want to cut the cord and let their franchise, one of their franchise icons, go. He's been a captain for many years. He's a work ethic guy. This is a guy with a tremendous respect. If they decide to move on, then you know what? I think he is just a dynamite fit with the Bucks for a couple of reasons. One, they need that work ethic guy, that newcomer, new blood, new energy guy who is a positive influence versus what we had last year with Swaggy. Absolutely need that positive influence, and there's no question Wake is that guy. As a free agent, he's used to playing in Florida, training in Florida. It's not going to bug him, the heat, not going to mess him up one bit. And he's effective, and like I said, if he played 58% of the snaps last year, he's used to being in that part-time rotational role. No attitude, no ego. You can start him and rotate him, and if you're going to keep Will Golston, if you're going to keep him, then that's a very strong fit right there. Strong physical fit with Golston and Cameron Wake rotating. So I'm not against that at all. You bring in Cameron Wake, that's not so bad to fill a hole, to be a Band-Aid, strictly a Band-Aid. But you know what? As bad as it's been, it's still an upgrade. And you can get rid of Robert Ayers, who has been less durable than Wake and less effective. And he's making close to what Wake's earning. So I like that as a possibility. You know, everybody's talking Michael Bennett, and now it looks like Michael Benton might be targeting the Falcons, where he has a lot of connections there, from the defensive coordinator to Dan Quinn, guys who worked with him in Seattle. You know, Bennett, I would love to see him in Tampa. I really would. Just one, because it's fun, right? I mean, there's got to be some fun element to this. He's a charismatic guy. He's also a big production guy. He works hard, and he's got a lot of attitude, and I think somebody like him could change the culture of the team. Now, you might be saying, I don't want Michael Bennett's culture, and I'm not sure that he fits in a weaker locker room, and if he becomes the go-to guy, what does his team look like, and what could happen? He's a loose cannon. I get that, but I don't want to see him on the Falcons. If the Falcons think he's good enough for them, then what the hell is he not doing here? I mean, where is he? So it's desperate times, desperate times, desperate for improvement. And think of the Dolphins. They made this move after getting 30 sacks last year from a disappointing group. And we only had 22. And it's not just all about the sacks, though. But I would like Cameron Wake here. I really would. If you get a good year out of Cameron Wake and you see what you've got in Noah Spence and you draft some defensive ends, second, third round that you can develop, and you believe you have a good coach and you still have McCoy in his prime, I am not against that at all. Not against that at all. Now, where Jason Light will spend his money, nobody knows. Right? Nobody knows. It's nice to sit around and say, hey, you know what? Sign Michael, you know, trade for Robert Quinn and sign Dontari Poe and have a beastly defensive line with McCoy in there. And you got Golston and this and that. But where are you going to spend the money? But I don't really care. As long as you're continuing to upgrade, I don't think you can ever go wrong spending the money in the trenches. I just don't. So I'm all for it. If the Bucs can beef it up in free agency, fix it first and then draft later, that's one thing I believe in. But I'll give Jason Light this. His attitude back in 2015 was, let's not address the offensive line at all in free agency, even though we're desperate. I'm talking March 2015. He didn't do a darn thing. And they were targeting Donovan Smith and Ali Marpet in the draft. And you know what? They got him. And they were good. So kudos to him. It's not all about filling the holes right away. That's why I'm saying you have to have a little patience. And what's important is the big picture. But be as emotional as you want. I was pissed off when the Quinn non-deal happened. But I want to see the way this thing shakes out. All right. Now, what makes this time of year fun, right? It's March. It's free agency. You know what? Give you a little inside the business, and it's not just Joe Bucks fan. On every NFL website anywhere, any NFL website anywhere, national sites especially, because they're not subject to the ebbs and flows of teams, free agency is the most traffic time. That's the most time when people are clicking on stories and trying to consume as much as they can about the new players, because it's the season of hope, season of excitement around the league, and it's the season of change, and people want to eat that up, and they're dying to know what's going to happen next. So this is really a super exciting time of year for everybody. And one of the things that is exciting to me is, and probably not most fans, but this time of year you get to see what other teams think of your team. What do other teams think of your free agents? How is the rest of the league evaluating your guys? And I'm not getting much of a vibe from talking to people, talking to Lee DeCamper, the other Joe who was out at the Combine this week, and just reading all kinds of stuff from around the country. I'm not getting a lot of vibe that there are many people interested in our free agents. Where are our guys going to go? Is anybody going to sign Evan Smith? Is Kevin Pamphile going to get a shot at a starting job? Maybe with the Giants. Maybe. I don't know. Brent Grimes? What's the market for Grimes? Because you just know he's going to the highest bidder if he's going to keep playing. Robert McLean, guy's a veteran, had 3 picks last year, showed his versatility. You would think there are plenty of teams around the league who would love to have Robert McLean as their number 4 cornerback, or, you know, a guy out there as the number 4 pushing a number 3. So he'll be working in the NFL next year. It's a question of what's the demand. Charles Sims, all these guys. Cameron Brate, what's going to happen to him as a restricted free agent? If the Bucs slap a tender on him, which they haven't done yet, well, there's got to be plenty of teams that would be interested in Brate, right? So I like this time of year for that reason. It helps helps you do your own evaluation, helps with the overall evaluation with what this team is all about. Now, there's a lot of chatter about guard, right? And I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to make a prediction here. The Bucs are not signing Andrew Norwell. Not going to happen. Left guard, Panthers, he's not coming to Tampa. Not going to happen. I'll tell you why. Because Jason Light, I believe, is going to look at Norwell, who is probably going to command the top of the guard market, which is $12 million a year. He's going to look at Norwell and say, well, if I pay Norwell $12 million, then what am I doing at right guard? And what is Ali Marpet going to want, cash-wise, if we force him to play center, and centers, the top centers, only make $10 million? Is Marpet going to say, well, I want center money, I want guard money, even though I'm playing center? I'm as good as Norwell, or I was on that path. And it becomes a messy cash situation. In my opinion, that's how it'll be perceived by Jason Light. I don't think Jason Light wants to pay out the nose for Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith. And yes, they like Donovan Smith. And yes, they plan to re-sign him for big time left tackle money, people. That's the goal. That's the goal if Smith plays well this year. I don't think he wants to pay 2 long-term deals for those guys and a third guy at the top of the market like a Norwell. I don't see it. I think Light and GMs in general, many of them, are too concerned with feelings on guys' rosters of, oh, well, this guy makes this and this guy makes that. Not enough of them have the backbone or the locker room to say, you know what, we're paying you this and I don't care if you like it or not. You should be happy you're in the NFL. They're too worried about cutting guys' pay and restructuring deals and, oh, well, what does this guy get compared to that guy? So I don't think Norwell's coming because I think in Light's mind, that's going to mess up the whole plan on offensive line. So write him off, just my opinion. Now, if that's what on the flip side, I think Josh Sitton from the Bears and of Packers fame, former Pro Bowler, that's why he fits perfectly here. In addition to being a good player, he fits, I believe, Light's plan. Because Sitton, you're going to be able to get him for probably $7 million. He's 31. I've been following a lot out of Chicago as to what the talk is about him, and there's a lot of fans upset that they let Josh Sitton go. And some of the beat writers up there, I've seen them writing and heard them talking about how, you know what, Sitton is still a superior pass rusher. You know, they don't necessarily get it. And you know what, he was also blocking behind some good running backs the last couple of years in Chicago. So Sitton is a warrior. He's a Florida guy. He's got the pedigree. He's got the playoff experience. I think he's the better fit for what Light wants to do. And that's why I think he's going to come here. I really do. I think Light understands that I can go Mankins-esque. I can go Logan Mankins-like and stick a Josh Sitton in there. And he's going to make the guys around him better. And it's a nice complimentary fit. And we can, go a little, stick. We won't re-sign Pamphiel unless he can't get a deal elsewhere. And we're going to develop Benenock and Wester. And maybe draft a center. I really think the Bucs will draft a center this year, especially if they let Evan Smith and let Evan Smith and Pamphiel go, two guys who could play center. I think the Bucs will draft a center because Light seems to like to draft O-linemen. And you know what? Warhop is able to develop them. Now, is Warhop the best coach for a unit? I don't know about that. But he seems to be able to develop these guys, and I think the Bucs will play to that strength. So that's something I'm looking for in free agency. And there's a bold call for you, right? Bucks not going to sign Andrew Norwell. I don't know how bold that really is, but I wouldn't count on it at all, at all. All right, I wanted to go to the combine, right? Because that's what a lot of people were watching last week. I don't get super excited about these times and the 40 times. They're fun. And the deadlifts and the, the bench presses and all that stuff. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, but come on. If you go back and you look at what guys did in the combine 3 years ago, 5 years ago, does that really translate to their NFL success? For some of the skill positions, it does. When you can watch some of these guys, especially the receivers, I think you can see a lot of the talent there just as an average fan when you put them up against each other. There's a lot you can see. One of the big things that stood out in my head, I remember writing about it and a really just one of those things you remember. I remember back in 2010, if you watch the combine, Mike Williams from Syracuse, he was the number two receiver on that field going through the drills and doing his stuff. It was clear he was the number two talent out there. Maybe 1A right there with Dez Bryant. And they drafted him, and I was like, man, you know, clearly this guy has the skills if they can get his head on right. And sure enough, as soon as he gets into practice, they made the decision. The Bucks decided that, hey, you know what? He looks like a number one receiver. He can handle being a number one receiver. We're going to put him up against Aqib Talib in practice and let him develop. And sure enough, he was a good number one receiver for the Bucks for a couple of years. So, you know, he was really more of a number two, an elite number two as far as his skill set, but he handled it for the Bucks, and that was a good pick, a fourth round pick, because he fell because of the character issues, which of course proved to be right on the money with his mattress in the yard and the weird gang accusations and other stuff like that. But anyway, the combine. I'm glad that Saquon Barkley looked like an animal. I really am, because you know what? He wasn't coming here anyway. The NFL is a trend league. There are too many teams that were going to want him, even if he was just okay, solid in the 40 and all that, and the short cone drill and the quickness, three cone drill. So I never thought he would get to the Bucks. I never thought Jason Light would invest what it would take to get up to get him. And it, like I said, the NFL is a trend league. You see what the impact running backs have had. It was, what, 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, that running backs in the first round, people had given up on those guys. After Trent Richardson, it was like, oh, it's not worth it anymore. And you saw Mark Ingram, what, he went at the end of the first round, and you know, and all these, all the trend was later. Well, then now it's coming back. And after Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette, Barkley is the right guy at the right time, with the right body and the right league to embrace him as the number one overall pick. And I am sure that Cleveland is going to do that unless they are so terrified they're going to lose their quarterback. But I would think that that they'll do Barkley first because he's the guy they'll be scared to lose. Especially you look at Dorsey's history. He knows what kind of impact behind a sound offensive line in Cleveland, what that running back can do for any quarterback, and I think he's going to go for it. But I'm glad because I just thought it was a bad fantasy for Bucks fans because it was never going to happen. So Barkley, he comes out of the combine as the consensus number one pick by many, many people, and I think that's where he's going to go. And that brings me to Quentin Nelson. Very interesting interview by Mr. Nelson, the guard out of Notre Dame. He did a neat interview on Sirius where he's said, and he was not, he was very serious about it, said he feels just as comfortable with his right hand in the ground as, or playing on the right side as on the left side, that he can play either guard position and don't peg him as a left guard, very comfortable on both sides of the line. Now, I've heard plenty of other linemen say, oh, you know, that's not the case, but he was clear and adamant and confident, and he's a monster. Look, he's a monster. But do the Bucks need that right now? Is that the impact guy? Is that the guy who's going to save jobs? And therein lies the sort of the conundrum, if you will, for Bucks fans and for Bucks media. It's too easy to report on what the Bucks want to do to, you know, win now so Dirk Cutter can save his job and Jason Light can save his job. And maybe it was kind of harsh. After I said it, I kind of thought, did that come out right? I said it on the Ira Kaufman podcast, which, of course, you should be subscribing to and listening to twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday on Joe Bucks Fan, Podbean, iTunes, wherever. But I said on the Ira Kaufman podcast that the hell with Jason Light's job security and Dirk Cutter's job security. I'm a fan. I just want to see the team win Super Bowls and be great. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the GM is. I want these guys making decisions that are in the long-term best interest of the franchise. That's my only goal. And if that costs you your job, oh well. I mean, maybe that's not me living in the real world of how things work, but I don't think you can go wrong as a GM making decisions that you believe are in the long-term health of the team versus short-term. And that's what's so dangerous about Jason Light being a lame duck GM. You're sort of forcing the guy to win now, and that's not always the right decision-making process for the GM. He's a human being. He's got a family. He's got a paycheck. Doesn't mean he's going broke if he's out of work for 3 years with what these GMs make. But they've put Jason Light in the situation where he's got to win now. And Quentin Nelson, you could argue that that's not the best impact piece for Jason Light. But you could also argue that if he is a can't-miss Hall of Fame caliber guard, which many people think he is, and he can play both sides, if that's what's there and that's your best available pick, well, you know what? I want the GM who's going to take that guy and not worry about what the impact's going to be. So I like Nelson. It's hard. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Nelson. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan, you've heard him talk about how Nelson is not what they need. It's not going to make a difference here. And don't get Nelson unless you can find a way to squeeze a Le'Veon Bell or another all-world running back and go all in with a monster running game to totally revamp the team. But I just don't feel that way. If he's the best pick, take him. Please take him. You can't go wrong with a 10-year Pro Bowl caliber guard. You just can't go wrong with that. So do it. I don't care if it costs somebody a job or not, and it shouldn't. You know what? If you know what you're doing, you'll make the best use of your strengths and use your resources wisely. So, man, Robert Quinn, though, if you added Robert Quinn for a third-round pick and drafted Quentin Nelson, that's not a bad improvement of your trenches out of the gate, let alone some other things that you could do and drafting some defensive ends to develop. But the Bucs didn't do that because Quinn's not here, and we'll see. We'll see. Again, take a deep breath. All right, I have taken a deep breath, and I am back. The magic of podcasting. We don't have to go to long commercial breaks. I can take a little break and come on back. So here I am. The podcast, we appreciate you listening. iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. Leave a review of the podcast. I like reading them, even if they're negative. You can call me an idiot. I really have no problem with that. It usually gives me a laugh, or maybe I can learn from it. And positive feedback is good, too. It's nice to hear. I know thousands are listening. Feedback, though, is hard to get. So give it a shot and listen to all of our podcasts here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bucks Uncensored. Justin Pulaski is on fire today, Monday. Ira Kaufman podcast, the new Joel Bolts Fan podcast from Tom Lang of ESPN Tallahassee. If you like hockey, fantastic. If you like the Lightning, fantastic. Lang is a young guy, but a lifelong fan. Became a fan as a little kid living in Clearwater. His passion has never waned. The Bolts are doing great things. And check that out. Joel Bolts Fan podcast from Tom Lang. You can subscribe. That's on iTunes as well. Catch it on Joe Bucks Fan every Friday. Of course, Todd Wright. Fantasy football podcast year round. Todd Wright, long time of ESPN radio, local sports radio icon. And Todd is Todd, man. A brand new golf tournament as well. The Todd Wright Tour, powered by JoeBucksFan.com. Event number 14 in less than two years, our 14th golf event. These are phenomenal events. That's why they sell out. That's why we keep doing them. Anybody who runs events knows, hey, if it sucks, you don't keep doing it. But event number 14, Todd runs an amazing golf tournament, all about fun, all about food, all about value. The next event is at Buckhorn Springs Private Club. Buckhorn. It is the first quote-unquote major championship on the Todd Wright Tour. Details, you can enter now, joebucksfan.com/golf. It's in late April. Only $85 gets you the tournament. Everybody leaves with a prize, lunch, dinner, private course. I mean, it's a great, great deal and a great, great time. And Todd's got some sort of magic with the weather. It's always good for his golf tournaments. I think except for one was a little shaky, but man, he always gets them in, and that's a great time of year to go play Buckhorn. So come on out there. Bucks Uncensored, the draft party with JoeBucksFan.com involved. I'll be out there. So will Ira Kaufman. What a blowout it was last year. This year it's going to be totally even more off the chain, if that's possible. If that's possible. First two nights of the draft, Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa location. That's their only one right there on Dale Mabry. It's going to be totally lit and just, oh my gosh. I'm not even going to go there. All right. So back to the Bucks. Well, I wanted to mention Jason Light and Dirk Cutter talking at the Combine last week. Wednesday was their day to chat, like most of the officials. And, man, Jason Light, you know, it's like, as I mentioned before, you got to sort of figure out, okay, am I rooting for the team or am I rooting for the regime? And maybe that's together a little bit, that's intertwined, right? Because you know that a new GM and a new head coach, that's not always the best thing for players and continuity and building a winner and a shakeup like that. Sometimes it's great. We see it all the time. But, you know, you also know that that's a longer odds. When you blow everything up, sometimes you go farther away before you get closer. So that's all together, sort of meshed together. My point is Jason Light was talking last week about the Bucks being very close. They're very close, and he's optimistic, and I get the optimism, but very close? I mean, come on, Jason, you're a general manager of a bad team that just really let down fans in the worst way. Everybody listening to this podcast, now I'll say 90% of you, just felt kicked in the groin by last season. Just totally kicked in the nuts. Come on. It was just brutal. And this team, to say they're close, do you really want to be a GM who's calling this team close if you're trying to save your job? Maybe you want to lower expectations a little bit. Doesn't mean you operate any differently, but man, very, very close. It's a pile of BS in some ways because Jason Light can't even tell us that Jameis Winston is going to be the starting quarterback on opening day and that he won't be suspended 6 games by Roger Goodell under the conduct policy for the whole Uber investigation. So we're very, very close, but we don't even know if our quarterback's going to be playing in the NFC South. Come on, man. Very, very close. Now, I'm not saying Light's BSing anybody that he doesn't believe that, but it's just not a good look for him to be out there saying you're very, very close. Man, if I were in Jason Light's shoes, I'd be trying to lower expectations just because to manage the message a little bit. I guess that doesn't really matter. You just want to see the team win, but very, very close. Who's the quarterback? Man. Yeah, and about the Jameis investigation. Look, for some reason, the national media doesn't care. The NFL doesn't care on it that I can tell. And the Bucks don't want to talk about it. Light doesn't want to talk about it. Dirk Cutter's trying to con us, saying he doesn't have any information. You're the head coach of the football team, man. You never thought to just ask, hey, what's going on? Light said he doesn't know if Jameis Winston was interviewed by the league. What the hell's going on here, man? I mean, come on. You know, at joebucksfan.com, if you're a commenter or you read the comments, one thing I like to tell fans, and sometimes you've read it in the comment section, is, hey, whatever you write there as a commenter, it's not free speech. It's not your words. You know why? Because they are published on joebucksfan.com. They're my words. I'm responsible for every content on the website, not the person who types it up. There have been cases of that before where the website was tried to be sued or was tried to be held responsible for content published in comments. And they were like, hey, well, you know, it's just an open comment forum. It's not us. And they've been shown and slapped by judges and told, yeah, you're the one publishing it. You're responsible for what's on your page. So, Jason Light, you're responsible for what's on your plate. Dirk Cutter, you're responsible for what's on your plate. That's the Buccaneers and the roster. And for those two guys to be out there last week basically saying, we don't know anything about the Jameis Winston investigation, it's either they're either inept or they're lying or I don't know what. Or the league is doing absolutely nothing. And I don't know which one it is. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it's nuts. And it's a bad look for those guys. If I'm in those guys' shoes, you know what I say? If I don't want to share about Jameis, I say, you know what? We're referring everything to the league. So-and-so is the spokesman for the league. Contact Joe Blow at NFL.com. There's your league spokesperson. We're going to let them handle it since it's their investigation. And we're proceeding as if we need a great backup quarterback because that's what we would do anyway. But it's like the message is all screwy. And come on, don't tell me you're very close, GM, if you can't tell me that the quarterback is going to be Jameis Winston. So it just really rubbed me the wrong way. Anyway, and let's see. So about the Bucs and about getting close, you know, Brent Grimes is a key to that. I don't need to rehash. Everybody understands why. You need a corner. He fits the system. He understands. He's a good football player. Resign him. And I don't know if he's going to come here, but the Bucs were saying the other night, on Wednesday, they want him back. Well, if you want him back, go get him. Go get him. There is a price for Brent Grimes. Go get him. Make it happen. If he plays somewhere else next year, that's going to be a terrible look for this team. And, you know, I know fans worry about the salary cap and money and all the Glazers' money and all this stuff and how we're going to manage re-signing our guys. Look, the team stinks. We've missed the playoffs for 10 years. Stop worrying about how we're going to handle our payroll when we're 11-5. I mean, come on. Bad teams have to overpay players. That's usually how it goes. Because they're desperate, because they don't have leverage, and they need to keep these guys. And they have more money available because they don't have a ton of guys to sign. So they spend a little more. And you know what? I'm fine with the Bucks overpaying by $2 million, five players on the roster, if that's what it takes to re-sign him. You know, if you only think Brent Grimes is worth $8 million and the Bucks need to pay $10 to keep him, then do it. If the Bucks really like Charles Sims, and I'm just throwing his name out there because he's a free agent, but if they like him and they think he's only worth $1.4 million, and somebody out there is offering Sims $2 million, well, pay him. Go pay him. I don't care if he's overpaid $700,000. Add that to Grimes, overpaid $2 million. I don't care. It's really not a problem. I'll worry about 11-5 and too much payroll when I get there. Now, I'm not saying grossly overpay guys, but you got to overpay, go do it. If you think Kevin Panfield's a valuable member of your team, but you don't see him as a starter, well, you know what? Sometimes you pay guys starter money and you make them backups. I mean, did the Bucs benefit by losing Russell Shepard, special teams captain and a guy who was versatile? Did they benefit because they didn't want to pay him $3.5 million to go play for the Panthers? No, they didn't benefit. They did not benefit from that. And there's Russell Shepard last year returning a kick against the Bucs. I never saw him return kick for the Bucs. That's probably a bad example, but yeah, you know what? It is a bad example, but it does make the point. And look at Matt Bryant years ago. Matt Bryant, the kicker. Mark Domenech didn't want to pay him. Well, he's still kicking for Atlanta. I don't care if the Bucs trickle an extra $10 million across their roster over three, four guys, five guys to keep him in Bucs uniforms. That's what you do when you don't have the wiggle room and the depth and the victories and the salary cap to do it. And so many fans are worried about the salary cap. First of all, it keeps going up every year. And you can always get creative with contracts. You can always get creative. You can always let guys go. There's always room. Other teams almost always find the room, unless they're winning constantly and consistently and they're super deep at a position, which is why Carolina is getting rid of Andrew Norwell, because they just paid Trey Turner a guard they drafted in the third freaking round, who's been to a couple of Pro Bowls. Their other guard broke the bank, and they don't want to do it for both guys, and Matt Khalil, and Ryan Khalil. So they got to let somebody go. We don't have those problems on the Bucks. We really don't. Pay your guys. If you have to overpay a little, do it. Period. Now, speaking of overpaying, Ryan Fitzpatrick comes to mind. The Buccaneers, Cutter, Light, they said they wanted Fitz. They want him back. Fitz said he'd like to come back. I remember talking to him at his locker at the end of the year. He was kind of saying, yeah, I get that I'm not going to be a starter in this league anymore. It's not my place. And I like working with Jameis and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Fitz isn't stupid. The Bucs need him. They don't know if Jameis is going to play every game. If Fitz played well, he knows the system. He's probably willing to do a one-year deal. If you got to pay him an extra $2 million that you really want to, do it. Do it. Just, you know, do it. This is where this team is at. They can't play games and worry about, Light can't be worried about saving face for overpaying guys. I mean, all the guys that get overpaid who don't perform, like Swaggy Baker, start overpaying the guys who have performed for you in the system who make sense. I don't want to see Mike Glennon here over Ryan Fitzpatrick. And if the Bucs want Fitz, I don't want to see somebody else here. They've already said they want him, then get him. As far as what else is out there in free agency, there are a lot of things going on with the Bucs that are going to dictate that. And one of them is their commitment to their current guys. Ira Kaufman wrote a column about this today. And in many ways, it centers around Vernon Hargraves. The Bucs, Light, Cutter, they made it clear, Light mostly, they made it clear at the combine that Vernon Hargraves is a guy. They're not giving up on him. They believe in him. They like where his head is at coming into year three. Well, what does that really mean? That means we invested a lot and we're not about to throw in the towel, even though he sucked, even though he's coming off an injury. We're sticking to it, baby, because we drafted him. We're going to develop him. Well, that's a lousy way of thinking. I get keeping him because he's not earning a lot of money and he still has talent and is a wild card, and that's fine. You can have these X-Factor guys on your roster every year. But, Light, come on, at least come out there and say Hargraves has got to earn his shot. He's not going to be given anything. I don't care that he was a first-round pick. I like where he's working, and he's got a lot to do to earn a space on the roster. Come on, at least, give the appearance of competition or give the appearance of an attitude where you're not going to give away jobs on this team. It's been a problem before. I just don't like the wording of it. As far as the draft, I talked a little bit about Quentin Nelson. You know, do the Bucks go to Vita Vea with his talent level at defensive tackle? Would they do that? Would they reach for him? I hate the term reach. If the guy can play, he can play. If you believe in him, you believe in him. I'm not this guy that says, oh, well, he should have been at 14. The Bucs reached at 8. I hate that term. I hate it. It doesn't make any sense. Pick good players. Pick the right guys in free agencies. I don't care if you overpay by a few million. Pick the right guys in the draft. No one's going to say you reached if the guy pans out. Anybody saying that these days that the Falcons reached on Keanu Neal at safety like they were in the draft? Anybody ever even think that? Take the guy you like. If he's that guy, take him. But it's got to be, they got to draft linemen. They really, man, the Bucs have an old defensive line. Old defensive line was a fixture on this team last year and a problem. Got to get younger. Only one way to really get younger is to sign young guys if they happen to hit the market. And that takes us back to the start of the podcast with Robert Quinn. Or you got to draft them. And this is the year they got to draft him. So I don't mind if the Bucs go there. Obviously, we learn more about Vea in at the combine. Looks like he can play the part, but most of these guys do. That's what the combine's for. You got to realize that as soon as these guys get out of college, they're not training to play in the league. They are training for the combine. And just think, maybe you're just your average Joe football fan. Not in the best shape, sitting here on my ass on your ass, like I'm sitting here on my ass, and you're tasked with, hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? John in Tampa. Hey, you know what? Sean in Riverview, whoever you are, in two months, you're going to get a fitness test. And if you really knock it out of the park, you're going to make more money next year. Imagine if someone just came up to you and told you that. Well, if somebody told me that and said, hey, you know, that if you're getting shape for the next 60 days and train, Steve, that could mean an extra, anywhere from an extra $300,000 to $400,000 in pay for you over the next 3-4 years. Well, you're damn right. I'm going to put down this bag of pistachios and my Coke here, and I'm going to trade it in for some strawberries and some water. And I'm going to do this podcast while I walk on a treadmill. So these guys are training for the combine. They're not training to be football players. They're training for the combine. And that's why it's not the best indicator, depending on position, especially for the defensive linemen. Come on, man. The film is there. And I liked that I heard on radio, I got some stuff from other people at the combine, that Villa out of Washington is a very popular name when it comes to who's the best player you faced, who's the toughest matchup in the trenches. And a big giant body like that in what should be a good incubator for the Bucs with the new D-line coach and McCoy and some other guys in there, and maybe a couple other rookie defensive ends, hungry guys, real hungry guys fighting for jobs. It might be a good pick as well for the Bucs at number 7, even if it's what some people would call a reach. To me, it's not a reach. If the guy's the right pick, he's the right pick. I don't want, you know, come on, pick the right guys, pick guys you need. And yeah, you can draft for need in this league. You can be awake and do that. Wanted to close with, of course, thanking Discount Garage Doors. If you made it this far, if you ever need a garage door or have an issue or have a question, that's what you'd do. You call Discount Garage Doors. DGDoors.com is their website. 10% off. Use your Joe Bucks fan code. 1-866-420-DOOR. Free same-day service call. That means you can call them up tomorrow morning and schedule them to come on out, and they'll be out there. It's not going to cost you anything. They'll tell you everything you need to know. Trained, professional, licensed technicians. One of the best companies in the Bay Area by overall, and certainly the best for garage doors, and they're growing, and it's darn exciting, really darn exciting. We appreciate their support. I wanted to close with the Bucks here. Obviously, this is a Bucks podcast. Now, I wanted to close with just the big picture stuff, right? Because this is an exciting time of year. Because no matter what the Bucks do in free agency, it represents hope, represents excitement. They'll fill a couple of needs. They have money to spend. The Glazers aren't telling anybody not to spend money. They may set a budget for Jason Light as it relates to free agency and as it relates to the salary cap over the next few years. But he has money to spend on players. And most people, I think, are going to be happy after the Bucks make some moves in free agency next week, middle of next week, because it represents hope. And that's why we're here, because we're fans, because we care, because we want hope. We want to feel it. We want to go into that shower or get into bed or surf the internet, reading Joe Bucks fan, and feel that tinge of optimism that, you know what? We got a shot. We want to hear that Jameis Winston investigation is out the window. We want to hear that, you know what? We got better at left guard. You know what? We drafted a center and this kid has a shot, and we're developing players. And you know, we want to hear that, you know what? DeSean Jackson, we want to hear more of him training with Jameis. And we see the video of Jameis out there grinding away 2 days on his own in Tampa. And we want to see the Bucks re-up Grimes and sign a free agent corner. Maybe the guy, his last name always escapes me, out of the number 3 guy in Jacksonville, Colvin. Yeah, I think so. And we want to see the pass rusher come in, whoever it is. And then we get to the draft and we're fired up and we start to believe Jason Light just a little bit that, you know, maybe we are very, very close if Jameis can take a step and this offense can do just a little bit. Dirk Cutter was talking about, it is Colvin out of the Jaguars, who I think would be a great fit here, versatile as well, and a guy you could sort of work with Vernon Hargraves and play, you know, and not to help him out, but sort of a guy that would complement Hargraves pretty well and be a fit wherever Vernon is not, if they really want to back him. But Cutter was also talking about, you know, 5 more touchdowns here and 7 more touchdowns here and a mindset of being close. And that's where the Bucs team mindset is. We're close. Gerald McCoy, I've talked to him at the Pro Bowl. Other guys sat down with DeMar Dotson. We still have 2 more pieces of that interview for the Ira Kaufman podcast. But now the task is, if the Bucs can make the right moves and get fans believing they're close again, that's what we all want to feel. That's the way we want to spend our summer, hearing about what's going on in practice and looking at our talent and getting ready for a humble training camp, a hardworking training camp with the right guys in there. We just want to love the team. We just want to be excited again. And we all love the team. That's why you're listening. But we just want to feel that. We want to feel that again. And we don't feel it right now. It doesn't look good. And it looks like the Grim Reaper is just hanging around this season, waiting for the Bucs to go 1-3. Well, I'm not the Grim Reaper. You shouldn't be. There's a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety. But make sure you know where your optimism lives and pull it out next week, because it's most likely, 90% likely, going to be appropriate. You know, dust it off. Bring back your optimism as we get fired up for the rest of the offseason and what training camp and week 1 is going to bring. You know, we're only 6 weeks from the schedule release, which is really like a national holiday, and it should be darn fun. And we can all start thinking, yeah, if the Bucs can get out to 3-2 with this schedule and then take the bye and blah, blah, blah. And you know how it goes. It's why we love football. Appreciate all of you listening. Thank you to Discount Garage Doors. Check out all the JoeBucksFan.com podcasts. We give it our all here and, of course, on the website as well. And I will see you next Monday.